Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And tonight, we are going to conclude our series on prayer. I did not take time this week to count how many lessons we've done on prayer. I'm sure we're over 20 lessons, probably somewhere between 20 and 22, 23 lessons. And it's been a different journey on prayer than some of you seasoned Christians that have been in church a while have been used to. It's not been your typical series on prayer. And tonight, I think we can wrap it up and help you in a little different way. But I want to teach tonight on pray without ceasing. Let's read here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to start reading in verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. For some of you, you could memorize those verses this week and win a prize. Amen. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at me if you will. The concept of praying without ceasing is a concept that, I'll be honest with you, scared me a little bit years ago. I'll be honest with you, for a long time I thought pray without ceasing meant I'm going to have to go somewhere and be like some monk walking in a monastery somewhere, you know, humming and talking in Latin and doing all these things, and all I did all day long was walk around in a dark building praying and 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 praying. That's what I thought pray without ceasing meant. But I realized that's not true. Because God commanded me to do something other than pray. How could I do nothing but pray and obey the command of soul winning, obey the command of loving others, obey the command of giving, obey all those different commands? How could I do nothing but walk around like some monkey monk in a monastery, praying all day long, 24 hours a day? See, I'm supposed to read my Bible. I'm supposed to go to church. I'm supposed to win souls. I'm supposed to tithe. I'm supposed to help others. I'm supposed to do certain things other than just pray. But God says, matter of fact, he said here, rejoice evermore. Wait a minute. How can I rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing? There's got to be something to this then, or God would not ask me to do what I cannot do. Then, how do I pray without ceasing? Let me show you tonight that something that could revolutionize your life. I enjoy eating. Oh, amen. I'll be honest with you. I enjoy watching my wife and sometimes my daughter cook. I just enjoy watching them. You say, why? If you've ever, and ladies, this will make sense to you. When you cook a meal, you don't just put the corn on, wait till it's done, put it in the pan you're going to serve it in, or bowl or whatever, and then you work on the next thing. And then you work on the next thing after that's done. You're working on 4, 5, 6 different things all at one time. You got the meat in the oven. You got 2 or 3 things going on the stove. You got bread in the bread machine that you're working on. You're working on dessert. You're working on cutting stuff up for salad. And you got it all going at the same time. Now, you're not stirring all the pots at the same time, but you're checking on them from time to time. You all know what I'm talking about? And once you finally get all that thing done, you got a complete meal. Well, my wife can cook like that. Her individualized attention is on the whole thing, not just one thing at a time. She's constantly going back and checking all the things to make sure they're not burning, make sure they're the right temperature, you know, make sure the buttons on the microwave are pushed or whatever. I mean, just doing all those things. You say, why? Because that's what makes that total package, that complete meal. She is not working just on one thing at a time. She's working on the whole package, and she'll take a moment here and attend to that, a moment here, and a moment there, and a moment over here, and a moment over there, and back to this one, and check that one and that one while she's there, check that one, do this, do that, and just keep going through that cycle the whole time. Now, this is much the same as prayer. Prayer is always to be on the stove cooking. That's what pray without ceasing really means. It means you keep prayer on the stove at all times. My grandma, my dad's mom, you would go to Grandma Bush's house, and it didn't matter if it was 5 in the morning or if it had to be before 9 o'clock at night because they rolled up the sidewalk at 9 o'clock and went to bed. But, if it was 8 o'clock at night or 5 in the morning, the coffee pot was on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Grandma had one of those old-fashioned percolators. Yeah. And Grandma made, I like strong coffee. She'd call mine water. Grandma's coffee, you cut with the scissors. It was beside the pot, you know. She made that, what was it, chicory coffee. And she made it so thick. I mean, espresso was water to her. And then it's been sitting in that pot for 6, 7, 8 hours. She said, go get a cup of coffee. You're thinking, I don't think I could take one right now, you know. Oh. I mean, it was the real brew, amen? Now, wait a minute. It didn't matter what time of day or night, Grandma's coffee pot was always on. That's what pray without ceasing really is. It means it's always there, always available, and it's ready to go. Is all you got to do is access it. Okay? Let me help you with something here. Number one, there is no time that you cannot or should not pray. You realize there is no time deadline on prayer? You don't have to pray between the hours of 4 a.m. and 7 a.m. for God to hear you. That you don't have to pray from 8 a.m. or banker's hours, 9 to 10. You don't have to pray between business hours of 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. You say, why? Because God's not on a clock. God's not bound by time. Turn to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. The Bible says here in Psalm 55, look at verse number 16. Psalm 55, 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Wow, he pretty well covered it there, didn't he? He said at evening time, at morning time, and at noontime, if you pray, I will hear you. Can I tell you something? God will hear you. We know that in the book of Acts, one night at midnight, Paul and Silas were singing, praising God, and praying, and God heard them and answered their prayer at midnight with an earthquake. Now, you have never been woken up till you have been woken up by an earthquake. Amen, honey? Oh, my soul. 2 years in Southern California, we did a tour of duty. We spent 2 years out there, and I can't tell you how many times we went through earthquakes. But one of the biggest earthquakes we were in was a 7.1 on the Richter scale. It happened as my alarm clock went off one morning. I turned my alarm clock off, and the whole world started shaking. I'm not kidding. I set the alarm clock down from, grabbed a hold of that thing, set it down, and it went boom, off the top of the dresser. I mean, it hit just as it went off, and it was shake, rattle, and roll, and fall on the ground. It was exciting. It was shaking so bad that the power lines outside on the 80-foot towers, the ones that are about that big around, those lines were hitting each other and arcing, and it looked like a big electrical storm outside. We lost 2.5 feet of water in the baptistry that morning at the church. I mopped up water. Our house was moving over 3 feet in this, it gets a little exciting. You get woke up out of bed in one of those things, it's enough to get you. You say, where do you go? Nowhere. There's nothing to do. Worst thing to do is go outside. If you could get outside, it's the worst place to be because you got tree limbs and trees falling and the power grid and everything. It's exciting. It's kind of like a tornado. You just bend over and hunker down and hope you make it through. Now, wait a minute. You know, you can talk to God anytime you choose. Folks, sometimes, and I think we ought to have, us old-timers would call it, you ought to have your prayer closet, amen? You ought to have that spot where you go that you pray, but may I say this, that's not the only place in the world you can pray. Peter was on the, walking on the water, began to sink and said, Lord, help. You say, what was that? That was a quick prayer. He was requesting help from the Lord. He was out in the middle of a storm and began to pray. He didn't have time to get back in the boat, go to his house, and get in his prayer closet. Amen? Now, for you children, that doesn't mean you have to shut the door in your closet and pray inside where your clothes are, all right? It's just a term people used to use for a quiet place by yourself. Now, I love my time in the morning praying. I really do. I love praying in the morning. But may I say this? That's not the only time I pray. I love praying throughout the night. When God wakes me up, I wake up and I'll pray. I slept for about 90 minutes total Sunday night, from Sunday night till Monday night when I went to bed. You say, why? Because God had me awake praying for different folks in this room. You say, oh, I'm not sure I could do that. Okay, I can. If God wants me up, I'll pray. Now, listen very carefully. I love those morning times. Turn to Psalm 88. Just a few pages over. Psalm 88. Let's look at verse number 1. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. Skip down to verse number 13. But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Ooh. Everybody look at me for a second. Do you know that sometimes things happen because you don't pray? I believe there's things that could be avoided in the day if you'd pray before you get your day going. That doesn't mean if something bad happened that you didn't pray about it, so God let it happen. Folks, we're sinners. We're going to face the consequences of sin, period, end of discussion. And there is such a thing as evil and evil sin and different things and evil forces that do come against us. That is correct. I'm not saying the devil incarnate came and faced you every time you got a nail in your tire or every time you had a bad hair day. It wasn't the devil messing your hair up, all right? Now, you may turn into that, I don't know, but it doesn't mean just because you stubbed your toe on the bedpost that the devil was fighting you. But I do believe that we do fight. The Bible tells us we fight against principalities, powers, things present, things not present, and evil forces. We fight against those things, okay? And we're going to feel the forces against those. But I want you to notice it said day and night. Morning, day, and night. Here again. It does not matter what time of day or night. Guess what? Coffee pot's always on in heaven. Glory to God. What is it? Denny's that has the coffee pot, the never-ending coffee pot that they bring out. You know, as soon as you empty that one, they bring another one. I love that. Say, why? Because, man, I just keep them coming. Just keep them coming. Wait a minute. You don't need to fold your hands and get on your knees to talk to God. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. You know, I could pick up my phone and call people that I love, and as long as they were available, they would talk to me. Can I tell you something? God's always available. God is always available. I'll be back in Ohio next week. I have a little bit of family that still lives back there. I've got an aunt and an uncle and a grandmother that still live in the Canton area there. Of course, I'll stop and see my grandmother, and she's known for a while I was coming. I still have an aunt and uncle that are there. It's my mom's sister and brother-in-law. I haven't seen them in a long time. Years and years and years and years. I may have seen them once in the last 10 years. I told my wife, I said, you know, I got to call my aunt, my uncle. She said, why? I said, if I'm going to be that close to town, I don't want them to find out I was here for 2.5 days and did not at least let them know I was going to be here. That's not going to be good. So I called. I thought, maybe I'll get the voicemail. I called. The voicemail started. I thought, they're not like me. They're not bad people, but we live totally different lifestyles. So I said, Aunt so-and-so, Uncle so-and-so, this is Craig. I just wanted you to know. And all of a sudden, I heard the phone pick up. Craig. She said, we were screening our calls. She said, I got a call at 2 o'clock in the morning. Woke me up. Some medical thing wanted to send something to me. She said, I've had it with those people. She said, so I've been screening my calls. Guess what? God doesn't screen his calls. God doesn't screen his calls. Say why? Because the moment you pick up, he's already there. He answers before you call. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Is that not what he said? You call, I will answer. It's not a matter of voicemail. It's not a matter of the busy signal. God doesn't. He's got a multi-party line. He can talk to everybody all at one time. Gotta love that. So, there's no time that you cannot pray. By the way, there's no time you should not pray. I hear people say, well, you shouldn't pray for yourself. You shouldn't pray for things for yourself. I don't know what Bible those people read, but it's not mine. I find nowhere in Scripture where it says that it's bad for you to pray for yourself. Now, I think if you're going to spend an hour in prayer a day, and 59 minutes is dedicated to you and one to others, you got a little balance issue here. But I find nowhere in Scripture where it's wrong for you to pray for yourself. My mom was struggling with a little health the other day, and she said, I finally broke down and said, God, I need help with my health. This was like the day after I'd preached that sermon last Wednesday night on praying for sick people. I said, Mom, God commanded you to pray for your own health. I said, I don't know where you were taught that it's wrong, but it's not. It's amazing. She prayed. Guess what? Within an hour, she had the answer to what she had prayed for. I said, if you'd done that 2 weeks ago, you wouldn't have been where you're at right now. I kind of chastised her a little bit. Say why? Because she's long distance. Amen. She'd get over it by the time she gets back in a month. But I said, I don't know where you get this junk about it that it's wrong to pray for you. She said, well, I was taught. I said, I don't care what you were taught. That's not in the Bible. I said, isn't it amazing how fast God answered when you finally asked him? He was just waiting for you to ask. I guess so. I said, I know so. And I was driving my car, pulled off the side, opened up my New Testament and read the verse out of James chapter 5 to her. I said, that's the Bible, not me. Okay. Now, wait a minute. We're supposed to pray for ourselves. Now, number two, there is no place you cannot pray. You know, all places are holy places to pray. Do you know there is no place that can stop you from praying? No place. Do you know that every bush can be a burning bush? Not this one, but there is no such thing as a holy place. Everywhere you go as a child of God, you've got the Holy Spirit of God in you, and you have access to the throne of God. You know, the sink or the workbench can be your altar. You realize that your desk at work can be your mercy seat. You realize that your steering wheel can be an altar. Now, don't sacrifice there, please. And by the way, don't close your eyes when you pray at that one, unless you're stopped. The woods can be your holy ground. Oh, my soul, don't get mad at me for this one. Your exercise machine can be your promised land. That went over like a lead balloon. Do you know that you don't have to kneel to pray? I got to tell you this story. Of course, I've never been one that some would have called me ADD, ADHD, just hyper, wound up, wild. I don't know what you want to call it. I just don't require a lot of sleep. But I would get up at 5 o'clock every morning in college, took 18 to 20 hours of class every semester, worked 40 hours, drove an hour each way to and from work, worked in Valparaiso, Indiana. I'd get home from work a little after 1 o'clock in the morning, get back up 5 o'clock, and do it all over again. Now, when you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning after 4 hours of sleep, taking 18, 19, 20 hours of class, I was a Bible club leader, I was a bus captain, I taught D-teen Sunday school, and a few other things, and tried to carry a B average in college, and you get a little busy, and sometimes you get a little tired. You had spring and fall programs, national conferences, everything else in the middle of all that that you kept going. It gets crazy. I've thought, I'm going to be spiritual. I'm going to get up. I'm going to read my Bible for a while. I'm going to get on my knees beside my bed. I'll make my bed. I'll get on my knees, and I'll pray. You know how many times I woke up with slobber all over my top of my bed, and I'd been kneeling for 30 minutes. I probably prayed 15. Do you know what it's like to fall asleep on your knees on a concrete floor and sit there for 15 minutes asleep? And then you've got to stand up. You're like a calf with new legs, amen? Oh, I can't get up, you know, and slobber all over your bedspread and all that kind of good stuff. You know, you do that a couple days and you're thinking, something's got to change here. Now, I think it's wise for us to kneel at times in humility. But when you're dead dog tired, you get on your knees or you're going to lay prostrate and pray, you're stupid. I'm sorry, you're not going to pray, you're going to snooze. I had to get up and I had to walk. I'd get out and I'd walk up and down out at Baptist City. I'd walk around, I'd walk down by the train tracks, walk up and down the train tracks. Walk around the schools out there, walk around the all of it. You say, why? Because you walking outside in the cold weather, it'll keep you awake long enough to pray, amen? To this day, with my bad hip and bad knee, I still don't kneel real well, especially on hard floors like this. Say, how many hours a day do you spend on your knees? None. Now, I get on my knees from time to time, but most of my praying is done either sitting down or walking, and a lot of it's walking. You say, why? I just focus better. That's me. Now, you may not be that way. I am. But I find nowhere in Scripture where it says you have to be on your knees every time you pray. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
To those people, very few of them ever get up from the supper table to get on their knees to pray. They really don't believe that. Everybody doing all right? Okay. I listed some things here that may help you. Places in the Bible where people prayed. Listen to this. Foxholes, prisons, roadsides, wells of water, churches, bedsides, cemeteries, gardens, homes, palaces, boats, seashores, kitchens, tents, mountains, valleys, rivers, government halls. I said government halls. Riding on backs of animals, which was their transportation. Hospitals, slave in slavery, in success, in death, in disease, in sickness, in strength, in weakness, in preaching, in listening to preaching, and etc. You go through your Bible and you'll find out that in every one of those situations and more, people prayed. So there's not one place alone that is designated for prayer. By the way, I think we ought to use the altar at church. Yes, say why? There's something about that altar that seals things in our minds, and it says humility. This next week when I'm back in Ohio, I'll probably end up driving by the church that I grew up in. I could walk into the back door of that church. I could walk over to this aisle. There's three sections in that auditorium. You had a center section and two side sections. And on the side section over here, four rows back, is where I always sat. That was what we called the teen section. Man, we'd pack that thing out with teenagers. Say, why? Because the preacher didn't want us in the back. We sat up front. And I'll promise you, there might be 20 or 30 or 40 teenagers in there. And every church service, that thing was emptied out and the teenagers were filling the altar. Can I tell you why? We wanted God to use us. I did. I still, I don't mean this the wrong way, I'm still living decisions I made at that altar. That's good. 30 years later, I'm still living decisions I made at an altar. By the way, I don't say that in arrogance. I say it in humility and I say it in thankfulness. Thank God I'm still living decisions I made 30 years ago. Yep. And it was made at an altar. There's just something about it. Then, lastly, to pray without ceasing means you stay in conversation with God. Turn to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. One of my, and I use this word appropriately, one of my heroes in the Bible. One of the most untaught men of Scripture. Genesis chapter 5, look at verse number 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Wow. Everybody look at me for a moment. We won't take time, but Methuselah is mentioned in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. Jesus and Methuselah are like images. I personally believe it was an Old Testament appearing of Jesus, but that's my own personal feeling. I do not believe that Enoch is God and that Jesus was born, but I believe he is a type of Jesus according to the book of Hebrews. Okay? Now, Methuselah was the last living person. After he died, we had the flood. Okay, all that took place because of Enoch who walked with God. Say, what happened? The Bible says that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. In other words, one day while Enoch was walking with God and talking with God, God said, Enoch, it's getting close to sundown. You're closer to my house than yours. Why don't you come home with me right now and let's go. And Enoch went to heaven. And Enoch has not yet died. You say, how could that be? Because that was 5,000, 6,000 years ago, Brother Bush. Well, my Bible says a day with the Lord is as a thousand years. In Enoch's reality, he's only been there about a week. Say, but everybody has to die. There's two people in the Bible that did not die yet. Enoch and Elijah. And according to the book of Revelation, both of those men will come back from heaven during the tribulation and preach, and then they will be killed. Because as is appointed unto man, once to die. And after this, the judgment. You say, who are those two witnesses? Enoch and Elijah. Or God is a liar and God's justice is not satisfied. But God took Enoch, watch this, he walked with God so closely that God said, Enoch, just come with me to my house right now. Why don't you come home with me for a little while? I've walked with you, now let me take you somewhere and you can walk with me for a while. Whew. Folks, Enoch, the Bible says, for 300 years, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. Can you imagine walking with God that closely? To where when you talked, God said, why don't you just come on up here with me? Whew. I've met people in life who, in my opinion, walked very closely to God. To talk with God out loud everywhere you go. Do you talk to God while you're driving? Most of you talk to the other idiot drivers more than you talk to God. Do you talk to him? By the way, you say, I don't think God wants to hear it. Why not? You're one of his children. I like hearing about what my children do. Of course, my daughter's starting to learn how to drive, and she's doing all of her driving right now, and sometimes she drives with her mom, and other times she drives me crazy. But there's times she's been out, and she'll say, Dad, this happened while I was driving, and we talk about it. You say, why? I'm interested in it so I can teach her and help her and see how she responded. Can I tell you something? Your father wants to know about your driving too. Some of you ought to slow down. He's saying, slow down, slow down. Do you know God's concerned about your shopping, ladies? I believe that. I believe God's interested in your shopping. I believe some of you have passed by things that God wanted for you to have because you did not ask him. He did not reveal it to you. I believe that. Man, is it getting lonely up here. And by the way, God won't make you go in debt to get it either. You know, I believe God wants to help you at work. Wonder how many times we frustrate ourselves because we want to do it our way and we don't stop and ask God for his help along the way. Man, aren't we all guilty of that one? How about making dinner? I believe God wants to help you. How about at school, young people? God wants to help you. You say, good, because I need it. Yeah, but you're only going to get out of it what you put into it. According to the book of John, chapter 14, and he shall teach you all things, and shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've commanded you. Now watch this. Do you know that you cannot pull information off of a computer that you did not put in it? So if you don't put the information in, there's no ability to pull it out. Guess what? God expects you to put the information in. Once you've put it in, God can then help you pull it out every time. I just taught some of you how to get better grades. That means you study and put the information in. It's amazing, some of you teenagers. Oh, Dad, Mom, I read this. The answer's not here. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. It's there. It might not be word for word, but it's there. You got to use your brain a little bit. It's one reason I don't like a Becca curriculum, because anybody that's had it knows this. You go back and look for everything in bold and fill in the blanks. Hint, hint. Say, how do you know? I had it. And that's only one reason I don't like it. It's not the only reason. It'd be better if it was written by Baptists and not non-denominationalists. You know, God's interested in how you keep your house. You know, God wants to help you keep your house. You know, God's interested in church. You know, God's even interested at play. Some of you wouldn't lose your temper while you played if you'd pray. Man, I hate that. I quit playing sports. Say why? Because I don't pray while I'm playing sports. I play. I don't pray. I'm not kidding. I'm done competing. I'm not going to get out and compete. Say why? I'll lose it. I got too much compete in me. Say, are you in a contest? With nobody. That way I don't lose it. Boy, that's good stuff. Let me ask you a question. If you only talk to your spouse as much as you do God, how much would they think you love them? If you only talked to your children as much as you talk to God, how much would they feel you love them? Let me ask you a question. How much does God feel you love him? How much time have you spent with him? Just because you take 10 seconds to say, okay, God, I love you, 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 that's not enough. If you said that, if you spent 10 seconds with your wife every day and that's all you said all day long for 24 hours, every day of the week for about 6 months, guess what? She's not going to believe you. You spell love, T-I-M-E. Time. By the way, so does God. He wants you to spend some time with him. I didn't say you couldn't do it while you're driving to work. Some of you spend an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours driving to work. Do you realize you could utilize that time to spend time with God? Now, some of you help everybody else spend time with God because you scare them to death by the way you drive. But, you know, how do you think God feels? Turn to 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to teach you a great truth and be done. One of these days I'll preach a whole sermon on this, but 1 John chapter 4, look at verse number 7. I'm going to teach you the whole truth to love in a relationship. I don't care if it's with your husband, your wife, your children, a friend, church member, an enemy, or God. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. And I want you to notice this next statement. And knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Look at me. When a husband and wife are arguing with each other, somebody doesn't know God and has not spent time with God like they should. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. By the way, usually it's both. Usually. You know, when a child fusses with a parent, one or the other generally has not walked with God.
Yes, sir.
I have never counseled a marriage, listen to this statement, where people were fussing with each other, where both people were right with God. Never. I've never refereed between a parent and a child to where both were right with God. Never. Listen to this statement. Young people, that's why you don't date and hang around lost people, because they don't have the ability to love. He that loveth not, or he that loveth, is born of God and knoweth God. You can't date a lost person and they cannot love you because they're not born of God. They can lust you, they can have compassion for you, but they cannot love you with the love of God. Teenage girls, listen to me for a second. Something happens to a teenage girl. She hits about 11, 12, 13. she grows these cat claws and an attitude that stinks. You get mean and nasty. Okay? It happens to all girls, so just hang in there. May not be at 11, might be 12, might be 13, might even be 14, but it's there, I promise you. Can I tell you something? If you'll walk with God, you can knock that edge off. Something happens to a teenage guy by the time he hits 14 or 15. He and dad start butting heads. And I mean butting heads hard. You say why? Because a godly man's taught his boy to be a man, start making decisions. Now the boy starts making decisions, but it's not the decisions dad wants. And you got two alpha males and they're ready to kill each other. Can I tell you something? The more dad and the more the son walk with God, the less conflict there'll be. I didn't say there would be none, because nobody perfectly walks with God, amen? But I will say this, you won't have as much. You got a bad attitude? I'll show you how to fix it, walk with God. Ladies, you can't have a bad attitude and walk with God. God doesn't want to spend time with a bad attitude. Fellas, you're not going to walk around ticked off and mean and nasty if you're walking with God. You think you're going to get mad at God and tell him off and he's going to take it? You think you could actually tell God off? You think you're actually tough enough to stand in the face of God and tell him what you're really thinking? Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Or am I on an island all by myself right now? The closer to God you are, the more you don't want to disappoint or embarrass him, so you'll act right. You know, there are times I want to react, but because I don't want to disappoint my wife, I won't react the way I'm thinking about reacting. I can put up with a lot. Foul-mouthed idiots bother me. I don't know about you, but people that don't know anything more than four-letter words need to grow up, especially in public. I can put up with a lot, but I don't like people cussing around my wife and daughter. It just, I just want to reach over and slap them and knock their teeth down to their toenails and feel a little better, amen? And every time I hear it, my wife, I'll go, I got it. And she'll look at me, she's like, not yet. I know what that means. Hang on. Maybe they'll move on. Most of the time she's right. Not always. I'll catch eyeballs with somebody and just glare at them. I had one guy one time say, what are you looking at? I said, nothing. Now shut up. Guy looked at me. I said, use better language around my wife, please. Oh, who do you think you are? I said, you don't want to know. I said, do you want to tangle with a Baptist preacher? Oh, sorry, Reverend. Sometimes it does have advantages, amen? One day, Brother Hiles was, I'll use the word, attacked. Somebody didn't accost him, but somebody had said something publicly about him. And I'll be honest with you, there was many of us that were about ready to come unscrewed. He called a staff meeting one day, and he said, fellas, he called the entire male staff together. He said, I love you. And I know you love me. I said, and this is what he said. He said, I've never done this before, but I'm doing it now. If you defend me, I'll fire you. He said, I don't need defended in this. I'm right. They're not. But I need you keeping your mouth shut and don't defend me to anybody. He said, you just let me take care of this. And he said, I want you to behave the way I behave in this situation. He said, I don't care what anybody in this country says. You behave the way I would behave. He said, or I will fire you. Okay, I know what that meant. Back off, Jack. So I did. About a week into this thing, I got a phone call from a preacher out of state. He lit into me. He said, what are you doing about it? I said, nothing. He said, I thought you were loyal. I said, I am. He said, you need to stand up and you need to fight and you need to do this. He said, I said, I value my job. I said, what you don't understand is Brother Hiles asked us to behave like he behaves, not the way you behave. I said, you don't work for him, I do. I'll obey him. You know, to this day, that guy still hates my guts over that. I don't care. I really don't. I learned how to walk through troubles like that and come out on top. I've walked through many a battle since then. Say, how do you walk through? I watched him walk through a battle, teach me how to walk through it, and guess what? I can walk through a battle. You see, by the way, those are the very guys that are dropping like flies like right now in changing stripes. They didn't want to do it the right way. They wanted to do it their way. Pray without ceasing. Everybody listen to this statement. Being spiritual does not mean weird or being spooky. Some people, you know, we get this concept that if you're spiritual, you're one of these weird people. You know, you either got to be carrying your family Bible and standing up and acting like some crazy idiot, or walking around holy, 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 holy all the time. Okay, it's not weird. Okay, we're not monks and nuns who are secretive, spooky, and weird. Spiritual does not mean secluded. God said there is no time, no place that you cannot pray. There's nothing you cannot ask him for. It's just like grandma's coffee pot. It's always on. You just pick up the cup and pour it in. Wipe it out with your fingers first and then pour the coffee in. Wait a minute. That's what the term pray without ceasing means. That's what rejoice evermore means. It means you're constantly rejoicing. That's what abstain and keep abstaining and keep abstaining and keep abstaining from all appearance of evil means. Say, how do you do these things in that linear tense and do it 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 and do it? It means you just keep the pot on and just keep pouring. And it's always there, day and night. I've met my grandfather at 5 a.m. or earlier to go fishing. I walked in, want a cup of coffee, son? Yes, sir. The only thing going to wake me up at that hour, amen. You got to know my grandpa. First thing he did when he got up in the morning was put his teeth in his mouth. Second thing he did was take a bag of mail pouch and take about half of it out and shove it in his jaw. Then he went to the coffee pot and started sucking the coffee down. You say, why'd he have to put his teeth in? Because he did too much of the mail pouch, amen. That was my grandfather. But I watched the day my grandfather got right with God and he quit chewing tobacco. I did. Say, why? He watched his grandson preach a sermon one day and got convicted while he was in Mexico, threw all his tobacco out, and he was done. Then all he got was his coffee and his Bible. Then I watched my grandfather in the last years of his life read his Bible every day. Learn how to pray. Wow. Pray without ceasing. Just kind of like grandma's coffee pot. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's not spooky. It's not weird. It's not some walk around like a monk in a capuchin place. Just means keep it on all the time.